Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here. Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Sin Bin.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at King G, looking at rugby league right across the east coast of Australia, the latest on the NRL, and joining us live in our Brisbane studio, our brand new beautiful Brisbane studio at the top of Caxton Street. It's the great Gordon Tallis. Hello, Gordy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's morning here, but good afternoon there, Anthony. I love your haircut.
Thank you very much.
Love it.
Thank you.
It suits you so much.
Well, mate, next time you're in Matraville, I'll get the boys to do it for you. Yes. Oh, hang on. No worries. We'll come back to that. But you don't have any hair. Might be a problem. Get them to do your eyebrows, which seem to be getting bigger by the day. Mate, we're looking forward to talking to you about your ultimate Brisbane Broncos side a little bit later on.
Cheers, bud.
Yeah, cheers to you too. And from NRL 360 and Fox League, we welcome one of the great journalists of rugby league, Paul Kent. Hello, old mate.
Hello, Anthony. Thanks for having me again once here on another Saturday afternoon, which is good. And with Gordon, I'm with him, mate. I walked in today, saw the new haircut, and I must say, I don't want to bag you. I'll compliment you. You are the prettiest middle-aged lesbian I've seen.
Yes,
in quite some time.
Yeah.
You are. You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's a great haircut.
Oh, mate, you've kicked off to me and I've knocked it on you.
Yeah.
And
when you turn around, you look like a toilet brush.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Australia's little hero from Fox League as well. It's the James Triceps Hooper Man. How
good
are you, son?
Afternoon, Anthony. I'm very good after the boys have just given you that intro.
That's okay, mate. I'm used to it.
Do you want to get a Twitter poll going straight away about your haircut?
Well, it's funny. People have been asking me about Maroon's poll, and we do have a poll, which I'll tell you about right now. It's the Bulldogs players that got sacked. Do you agree with me the club did the right thing in sacking the players, or do you think they should have just suspended them? So the poll is, should have those Bulldogs players been sacked? All right? That's my poll today. That's Maroon's poll. You can go to our Facebook page and vote on that. But let's talk about rugby league, the situation it is right now, Operation Apollo, and the latest on when we'll be playing rugby league. It's funny, we talked about June 1, Paul, then we talked about July 1, then we said September 1 is the absolute latest that we can start a competition. The NRL, Peter Volandis, has come out through the week and said, we want to be underway by June 1. Where are we with that? Do you genuinely think that's possible?
He said July 1, Anthony, is where he would like to go. I understand Wayne Pearce, who's now heading up the Apollo mission, is looking at that as a start date, but that's, according to Junior Pearce, that's the latest he wants to get the competition going. There is a little bit of a hope in the NRL, which they won't confirm or put on the record, but it is certainly what they're striving towards, is they want a June 1 start.
Kenty, what would be some of the roadblocks that would be stopping that?
Oh, look, I think the roadblocks are a couple of things. The players are now pretty much on board.
Yep.
The sport is exempt from the government's exclusions and all the rest of what you can and can't do. So sports exempt, but they've just got to make sure the players are safe. They know that if the players get in this bubble and one of them tests positive from within, then it's going to be embarrassing and it's going to really come back on the game. But let me say this, because I'm a bit of a non-believer in all this. Like I think we've just far exaggerated what's going on here. We've shut down the entire country and the entire economy for what is it's certainly serious, but there have been more serious things going around. The swine flu back in the early 2000s was more dangerous than this flu, okay? This is highly contagious. It's gone around the world. It's become a big story, and out of that it's snowballed. But while everybody sits there and finds it offensive, and some of the media find it offensive that the NRL would even contemplate restarting its competition, okay? And they'll only do that if they can put all the players in an isolated bubble where they have no contact with the outside world. Firstly, the players are more protected inside that bubble than they are right now, where they walk down the supermarket, there's 30, 40 other people walking around getting their groceries as well. But at the same time, all these people are saying, how dare the NRL even consider getting their competition back, which will bring enormous social benefit, I believe. The other part is, on the way in here, you drive past three job sites, which it's full steam ahead. Mm. And there's no biosecurity on the gates there. Blokes are walking around with their orange... The only security got is their fluoro orange bloody jacket.
High-vis, yeah.
High-vis jacket, and that's it. But there's no biosecurity or any of that. And these are guys on job work sites because they're keeping the country going at the moment. So the double standard that's getting applied here, so people, oh, it's unnecessary to have sport. Well, I think it is necessary. I think sport provides a great benefit.
Geez, you're going to have the fright bats and the lefty mafia.
But you know
what?
I don't care.
What about?
Hey, listen, he's in a happy mood. Don't bring him down. He's got Mickey Mouse Hoops. On his shirt today.
Hoops, what are your thoughts on this? And obviously, we've also heard through the week of being based in Queensland or now being based in this bubble in the Homebush precinct where all the players could stay in the Pullman and the Novotel and whatever the other one is, and they could go straight from the Ibis straight from there over to the Oval. Is that fanciful, turning Homebush into an NRL bubble?
Well, some people will tell you it's blind optimism. I don't think it is at all. The NRL's a business, and like all businesses around the world at the moment, they're bleeding. So it would be irrational and stupid to not try and do everything that you can to get your business back up and running. So that's what they're doing.
And let me say this about whether you can create the bubble or not. That precinct was designed and first used as an Olympic precinct, where it was a bubble then. There were certain areas that people couldn't get in without tickets, that people couldn't get in without certain authorization. The whole precinct was designed that way. Secondly, when the supercars raced there, once again, they shut down the whole precinct because no one wants to walk out in front of V8 steaming past, particularly the Mustangs, which are particularly fast.
We'll come back to that because there's a dent in Anthony's Camaro. We'll get to that later.
They've shut down that precinct several times before. They've shown they've been able to do it. They've got three hotels out there that between them have 545 rooms. They've got the staff at the hotels are willing to come in early, isolate themselves in the hotel, and then when the players arrive, they've already been isolated, tested, know that they're clean. They sit there, the players come in, they cook the food, they have the restaurants, they keep the hotel running over as normal, which brings business to the hotel who, I'm of the understanding, is only six of the 545, only six rooms are being used. Because people aren't obviously staying there anymore. Mm, yeah. So they could do the business. So it's going to help the economy there. They walk across to ANZ, they play there, or they bust to West Bank Stadium and play there. They've got the New South Wales High Performance Centre down the road where they can go and do their specific weights that they need to do. If need be, they can get bus to Belmore, they can get bus to Penrith Academy to do a weight session there. There's so many upsides to it. The players will be so minimally exposed to any danger, far less than the general public, far less than where they are right now.
And it wouldn't be hard to set up gyms underneath that stadium because there's such a big ring road around it. They could have gyms for the
one stadium,
teams that are coming from interstate and the teams that are still in Sydney. They could go back and use their own gyms, maybe.
The one problem with using the gym at ANZ or using the ground at ANZ is that I think it's June or July 1 they're actually going to start to decommission it, start to pull it down to do the rebuild. They could negotiate to get that delayed somewhat. But even still...
Well, I think, just on that, there's been big talk from Peter Volandis and the NRL Power Brokers. They plan to approach the New South Wales government and ask them to consider reallocating the $800 million grant that's been given to ANZ Stadium to blow it up and rebuild it all again, brand new, and turn it into a rectangle, which I think is a smart play.
Yeah, look, that's another idea that's been discussed, and it's got some valid points to it. I think that's a second discussion, though. That's another discussion. That's a discussion to try and save rugby league and all the rest of it. But the fact is, I just think that the getting a bubble created both in the island in Queensland and out at ANZ or the Olympic Precinct, they're both possible. I think what's really getting, I think, a lot of favour around the game at the moment is this idea of two conferences. So the Sydney teams isolated at the Olympic Precinct. The outer Sydney teams go to, Tangalooma Island?
Morton. Morton Island.
Yeah, you're Mort. So you go out there and...
Gordon's lost it.
Paul.
Look, we're all a bit silly, aren't we? The seven non-Sydney teams, and you'd have to get one Sydney team to agree to go there. And people say, some people, Sydney teams aren't going to agree to that. Doesn't matter. I don't see why it's a problem, because if they're going to relocate and isolate at ANZ, what's the difference? You might, it's better weather up in Queensland. Yeah. You might as well go there.
All right,
I'm not a big fan of the two conferences.
I'm not either, Gordon, but what it does is just provides an extra safeguard.
Yep.
As far as keeping them in two separate places.
All right,
if they play each other and then sort of change, and because it's not going to make the competition fair. I think that you've got to play everybody once. So like, maybe if it's 2 months and it gets a bit, you know, and the smoke starts to clear and, you know, you can start moving in the state, well, maybe they can finish the competition and then play the finals. But I don't think two conferences work. I know it works overseas in the NFL and basketball and that, but I don't think it'll work in the NRL.
Let's get some of these calls to air, see what the listeners think about all this. 133353, it's a Saturday Sin Bin. We do it thanks to King G, Hoops, Kenty, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. Eddie's in the Sutherland Shire. Eddie, what do you want to say, mate?
Oh, first of all, Gordy, you need to put yourself in the Sin Bin, mate, because if you're a fan of... You're an ex-rugby league player, mate, and you should know yourself as much as the fans of the NRL in Australia and New Zealand, and hats off to New Zealand for agreeing to even stay in Australia in the first place and stay away from their families. Mate, as a business and as a sport that a lot of people love, we should be doing everything and anything possible to get the game going as soon as possible. Mate, I'm a diehard Sharks supporter and even bigger fan of the game itself. I'm bored out of my mind come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah, I agree with myself. I had the same conversation, and my gambling addiction's just grown out of control. But getting responsible.
Absolutely. 133353 is the number if you want to talk to the boys on the Saturday Sin Bin. So that's where we are now. So you guys are okay with the idea of having that bubble thing, particularly around the...
I think it's a must, Anthony.
Yeah.
The other thing which I wrote about this week, rugby league's got a real pioneer spirit to it, always has. Let's have a roll of dice and see how we go. It would be wonderful for the game to say to the rest of the world, look what we're doing, we're back, we're up and running, because everybody's still shut down. If rugby league got up and got going first, every code around the world will start to say, well, okay, how are they doing it? What have they done? And can we do the same? And I reckon within weeks, you will start to see other competitions doing the same thing.
Okay, this is the Saturday Sin Bin. Still to come, we've got a whole bunch of special guests to get on today, including the CEO of the RLPA, Mr. Clint Newton, and the man himself, Peter Volandis, will come on and chat with us after 1 o'clock today as well. So plenty of guests, plenty of rugby league, plenty of NRL, and right across the East Coast, two hoops through Triple M Sydney, Townsville, Brisbane, Coffs Harbour, Orange, Port Macquarie, where you've got some business interests with your mate up there, Alistair, at the Settlers. Bundaberg.
No, that's you, Anthony. You're the one who promised they were going to get dressed up as a Roosters cheerleader.
I'll go back in. We don't want a history lesson, Hoops. Central Queensland, Mackay.
Don't bring up the grand final.
Toowoomba. Let's take a break and come back and talk about where the broadcasters lie in all of this. But we'll do that next, right here, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to the Saturday Sin Bin. Thanks to King G, innovation is at the core of what they do and who they are at King G. Now, let's talk a little bit of rugby league. Before we go any further, just want to tell everybody who has got us on the app or listening to one of the various Triple M's. Triple M is 150,000% behind calling rugby league this year, so whatever happens with the other broadcasters, I don't know. I'm not across all that. But we are definitely going to be there in anticipation of coronavirus. I took a massive pay cut in the off-season, and it's all systems go from here.
Mm. That's a fabrication, Anthony.
It doesn't matter. No, he did. He got a haircut. He got told if he wanted to keep the job, he had to take a haircut. So, and he's now trying to spin it that he saw this coming, so got in early.
Yeah, no, so I thought I'd just take a... Because I'm a team player.
Were you ahead of the curve on Corona?
I was, mate. Went out and bought a couple of boxes of Dunny Rolls and some sanitizer. And last thing I said, let me just duck into work and take a pay cut.
Yeah, further. But you're getting the money back because now you're selling the Dunny Rolls and sanitizer out the back of your car and making a fortune.
Exactly. Bunurong Road, look for me. Now, let's talk about where the broadcasters are on this. Now, obviously the NRL TV broadcasters being Fox and the Channel 9 network. Paul, your article this morning in the telly, I've highlighted that you've said here, the only winner to come from it all is Nine, who has already stopped paying its bills and who leaked this week in good news the cancellation of the NRL will save them $130 million. My question is, if they want to save $130 million, why do they go hell-bent for leather that I always have the rights?
Look, the Channel 9 have always made a small loss on the rugby league rights, what they've paid for them. But they've offset that loss because the ratings it brings has helped other shows. So that's why it was always worth the expense. But just given what's happened now, the fact that there's no footy being played, then clearly there's no ratings around when your normal time slots are. So in the past, they would have Sunday afternoon footy, which would then lead into a big Sunday night news program, which would help with the ratings. They can't do that now, so they're not getting the benefit from having rugby league games, and they still, they still had this debt that they had to service. Well, they didn't have to service it once the NRL stopped playing because the NRL then legally broke the contract. They couldn't provide the games that Channel 9 are paying for. So Channel 9 have told the NRL they're not paying. The first payment was due, I think it was early this week, 1st of April. So they missed that payment. They won't be paying that payment. And there's now talk that Channel 9 are looking to sort of get out of this. They're not keen for the season to continue and extend into the summer. And that's because they've got the T20 World Cup. And Nine realise, while I'll have both sports, you can only have one set of eyeballs on one sport. People can't watch both. Whereas if the league was extinguished first and then moved into the cricket, you generally get both people because us league fans will also watch the cricket. But certainly if they're on at the same time, I'm watching the footy. So there's going to be a lot of that. So they're looking at now using this as an opportunity to get out of their league coverage. Hugh Marks is the CEO of Channel 9, has already said that they're looking to get out of these big sporting broadcast deals. He said that some time ago, even before, I'm talking 12 months ago, even before the coronavirus stuff came about, because he just didn't see moving ahead as a company, it being financially feasible for Nine to continue doing that. So they've, that's why that's why they've lost the cricket, the Channel 7 now. They didn't want to chase as hard for that as what they had in the past when Packer ran the joint. Channel 9 are a much different company now than they used to be. So that's why. So the burden of paying for rugby league is just not something the company wants to absorb. So they're looking now to get it, I think, long term out of rugby league. Certainly at the price that's been that they've been had to pay in the past, and that might begin with this year. There is every chance that when rugby league resumes, it won't be on Channel 9. There's a chance that it could be another free to air.
So am I right in assuming that it has to be on a free-to-air?
Certain games have to be, Anthony. Under the anti-siphoning laws, which were brought in when pay TV first began, certain sports were exempt and were not allowed to be shown exclusively on pay television. Those games include the State of Origin games. They have to be on a free-to-air channel so everybody's got access to them. The NRL Grand Final, the AFL Grand Final, the Melbourne Cup, certain tests, cricket tests, all have to be shown on free-to-air television. The pay TV are allowed to also show it, but they're not allowed to have exclusive rights to it. So certainly the NRL Grand Final and the three Origin games this year, if they go ahead, they will be on some free-to-air channel. It just might not be Channel 9.
Okay. But on that, though, Fox League is obviously because we're looking at all the networks at the moment. Fox League is 100% committed.
Fox League is still, look, I understand News Corp, which is the owner of Fox Sports, is continuing to pay its bills. There are negotiations clearly about how to move forward with this. And what this is all going to look like at the end. Clearly, we don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. But Fox is continuing to pay its bills and is working with the NRL on trying to keep the game going and keep the game alive and making sure the game can survive until the point comes when they're back playing again. That's all happening well above my pay station. But that's the sort of stuff that is happening. So at some point, you know, the NRL, Fox Sports, look, we're still trying to do our best every day. We're putting on a show from 5 to 8, just a live show to try and update people. We've got plenty of interviews, much like this program here, and we're doing our best there. But the network clearly needs footy back as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you think Channel 9 would, and I was just trying to think, Kenty, when you were talking about the whole thing.
Channel 9, though.
I don't watch it other than footy, and I watch Fox, but what would other people tune in? What other whiz-bang shows do they have?
Married at First Sight's their big show, Gordy, but they use, the big one is, see, what the way the television ratings work is they use the footy to bring in Sunday afternoon to bring in big numbers for 30 weeks. Yeah. And what happens, so that comes in and it helps them get big numbers for Channel 9's Sunday night news. And what they do is then they put a couple of their big shows on after the news to try and hang on to the viewers. So that then what happens is the plan is generally from TV networks to hang on to them all night if they can. So when people get up in the morning and then put on their morning show, and this is why the morning market is so important, even though they actually don't get big numbers morning television. So you've got Channel 7 and Channel 9's, I don't watch them, Sunrise against Today. Today. Yep. So that they're up against each other. Because what you then want to do is people get up in the morning after having watched the footy, then the news and whatnot the night before. Still on the same channel. Still on Today. Today's probably struggling a little bit, to be honest. But then they go to work and they just turn the TV off. So then when they get home from work and they turn it back on, it's on that channel. And that's how you start to leverage it from one ratings into the next. And that's what they try to do. The other thing, too, is Origin. Origin is such a big ratings winner on that Wednesday night, less so the Sunday night, but certainly on the Wednesday night, that when they win that Wednesday, they win it so handily that it basically ensures they win that week. So that's why it's important. Because then when you start to win the week in ratings and you start to win ratings, that's when you can go to the advertisers and say, look, we're number one here. And you can actually start to, you get more bang for your buck from advertising, which is where you're making your money. So it's a big business part of it. But Nine have sort of recognised that while in the past they've been willing to take a loss for the footy because of the benefits throughout the rest of the network, they've got a different boss in there now. He's got a different idea on how it works. He's got an idea that he thinks can make more profit for the company and its shareholders by actually getting rid of football. So there's, in live sport in general, I shouldn't just say football, live sport in general, he said that that Nine will be looking to actually sort of remove itself from that in the future.
You and Miss Portugal, hello to Christine. You're right into Married at First Sight, aren't you, Anthony?
I haven't never watched it, to be completely honest, because I watch Fox League Hoops because I like to keep up with NRL and immediately know what's going on.
I knew you had a lot of good in you.
Who watches Married at First Sight? I've never watched it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the most popular show on telly, I think. Is it really?
I don't watch it, but I do read about it in the paper some days. It sounds fascinating.
Oh, they don't hold back.
Do they sound like nasty people? I tell you who the duds are on that show. The three people who actually pick them and match them, because they never seem to get it right.
Yeah. The gurus. Yes.
Oh, they never seem to get it right. Like, seriously, like, why would you be going to those people in any professional capacity saying, I need help? Because I tell you what, I've seen the job you've done where you've put this dickhead here with her over there and they've been fighting like, you know, cats in a sack ever since they got together. And you're telling me that you're now going to try and fix my problems.
Yeah.
Like, these psychologists.
So there's a show where you meet somebody once and marry them.
No, you meet them when you marry them.
Oh, you meet them. Oh, my God.
So you don't even say yes.
Married at first sight. You marry them.
Meet them down the aisle.
That's it, Gordon.
God. Wow.
That's hence the title, Married at First Sight.
Well, I've been with Miss Portugal for 36 years and I still can't work her out. I don't know how you go marrying someone.
Sorry, Paul.
Straight up. anyway.
Well, I watched 360 at the same time, Paul.
Yeah. Go on, you, Gordon. Solid, mate.
Twitter's lit up at the moment, Anthony, about your haircut.
Yeah,
it's
on
fire. Can we please get some images of Anthony's new do? Does he go to the same barber as Carl Stefanovic?
What's this one here? At Triple M underscore NRL, Eric from Winoona in Wollongong. Hey, Maroon, legend, love hearing you on the radio. Wish you're still on through the week. Oh, thanks, mate. Love that haircut. Where'd you get that haircut? I got up at Matraville, up at the local, up at Matraville.
Oh, please.
We'll take a break. No more emails or tweets about the haircut. Thank you. It's great that it's got everyone's approval. But my poll, I'd rather talk about my poll, which today is, do you agree with me that the Bulldogs players should have been sacked? I say yes, they should have been sacked. Chalk one up for that poor bugger that had to go out and find that $2 million sponsor, only to have it kiboshed by the behaviour of these two. What do you think? Get on Facebook as we rock the footy. The great little Australian, Australia's little hero, James Hooper, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon, back very shortly on the Saturday Sinbin.
The Triple M Saturday Sinbin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Good afternoon, right across the Triple M network and through the Triple M app with Kenty, Hoops, Gordy, Tallis and Maroon. We do it thanks to our mates at King G. Comfort is quality. Quality is king. We're still going to do a little thing called I Call BS. John Bateman from the Raiders joins us and the boss, the chairman, Peter Volandis, will join us after 1 o'clock this afternoon as well. Right now, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, a busy, busy man, is on the phone. Clint Newton, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys.
Nice clear line that, mate. Hey, what was easier, just taking the ball up and getting smashed or being the CEO of the RLPA?
Oh, I think I would have preferred coming out off my own try line facing Brisbane back in the early 2000s, to be honest.
Hey, Clint, can I just check, because I've actually had a lot of people in and around the game asking me this, who actually pays the RLPA?
It's a really good question, Hoops. It often gets, there's a lot of misconceptions out there, so I'm glad you've asked it. So basically, what happens is all the revenue that comes into the game, and then we obviously negotiate the 29.5% for the players' share. So of that 29.5% that otherwise goes directly to players, we take some of that to run the RLPA, and then we also get $100,000 off each of the club's salary caps, which would otherwise then go to players to come into our operational costs. So, so effectively the players pay, pay for the operations of the RLPA.
Well, it sounds like that. Oh, I don't want to get it blue about it, Clint, but it actually sounds like it comes from the NRL because it just passes through the players.
No, but the players generate the revenue with the clubs, Paul.
Yeah, fair call.
So therefore, that's how it operates.
All right, so how this week you guys went and negotiated and you came up with an extra $5 million, was it? Went from 19.2 to 24.2 or something like that?
That's not what happened. It was at 12.4 and then we got it up to 19.2 and then we got to use the injury hardship fund top it up.
So that was the extra little bit that you came out the other day from the injury hardship fund. Did that, because that was a little bit of money that was delayed payment from the NRL, wasn't it?
No, the injury hardship fund gets the clubs make a contribution to that, quarterly. So it was just about bringing that up to square, and then that gets put into the overall amount, which equated to, ironically, it equated to 2 months' salary.
Hey, Clint, how hard is it to get everybody on board? When I was on the Players Association as a young guy, you would sort of get all the players on side, then someone from the club would come over and say, well, that's not going to work because they had their own interests. But it looks like that they're like, you guys are getting the job done pretty quick and everybody seems to be pulling in line.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, historically, the game has operated too much in their own individual silos. And I think that's obviously been to the detriment of the game. I think, as the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think everyone probably thought that they were doing the right thing at different stages, but we've got a really great opportunity now to reset, recalibrate and go again. And it's now about strategy and character is going to get us through the other side. But yeah, it was difficult, but we've just got to change some of the conditioned thinking that's been operating within the game and across each of the stakeholder groups, for the betterment of the game.
Give us an insight into the negotiations, if you can, Clint. I've been speaking to a lot of players over the course of the week and officials as well, and it sounds as though there's been some heated conversations and some tough conversations in a lot of those hookups.
Yeah, of course there is. I mean, everyone's really passionate about the game, and I think that's a testament to everyone's character. I think that that's what's made it successful in the past, and that's what will make it successful in the future. And, yeah, I mean, like anything, you have to place yourself in uncomfortable situations. And, you know, Peter Volandis and Todd Greenberg did that with a mass player call. And, yeah, there was some courageous conversations had. And but ultimately, everyone had an opportunity to be really open and honest and in a lot of ways demand transparency, which ultimately we've got now. So if we were all thinking this was going to be perfect, then that's simply unattainable and it's never going to happen. So yes, it was necessary to have those tough conversations, but the players acted with the utmost professionalism throughout that period.
Clint, I want to know how long it would take the players, if you've had discussions already, to activate if the NRL says, right, boom, we're going into quarantine, we're going to go inside the bubble, we're going to get the competition started again. How long until the players say, right, we're ready to go?
Well, it's all going to come down to how long we have off, right? So we've only literally had, 2 weeks off coming into this weekend. So that'll play a significant role in how long it'll take the players to get going. But, I mean, you would probably think, you know, between that 4 and 6 week mark, but again, pending on when they'd look to be reactivated. But that's why this period now, Paul, is so critical. It's about wrapping enough support around the players and enough structure to be able to ensure that they continue doing the things that they need to do, remain safe and healthy, so they don't obviously come in to a position where they might transmit the virus. But then also, it's not just about the physical, it's the mental side of it as well. And that's the next phase that we're working through now, is the whole athlete wellbeing.
But, all right, I get that from a player's point of view. But is there a sense of urgency here? Because if the game comes back, there's no idea how long they could continue playing. There might be another outbreak, or there might be a fresh spike in numbers or whatever, and the game might have to shut down again. I just wonder whether there's a sense that, look, guys, we don't want to waste too many weeks that we could be playing, where we're just basically doing 400s and a bit of, wrestling sessions and all the rest of it, when they could actually be back playing and earning their broadcast money, which I'm sure is in the players' favour.
Yeah, well, we've got a little bit of time, though, Paul. We've got those 2 months, right? And some players will spread it over a bit longer than 2 months. So we do have some time there. But I think the biggest risk we've got particularly relates to collision. So we're going to have to be in a position where players are, one, most probably checked and, have a clean bill of health, before they get integrated into a broader playing group. So the contact sessions, as, Gordy would well know, that becomes critical, because if you're going to expose players to arguably the highest collision sport in the world, outside of probably hockey, we're going to have to make sure they're ready to go, because the last thing we want is to have mass injuries because we haven't been properly prepared. But I agree, Paul, we have to strike a bit of a balance.
All right, Clint, good to catch up with you, mate. All the best over the next few weeks.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, mate. Clint Newton joining us. He is the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association. And, of course, this is the Saturday Sin Bin right across the Triple M network. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy and Maroon. Now, let me bring this up with you, Hoops, because I wanted to touch on this today anyway. That whole idea of when, as the boys have just been talking about it, the whole idea of is when we get the rubber stamp, we can go again. How long do the players need before we can be playing an actual NRL match? Through the week on Fox League, there was a lot of talk about needing a month to play a couple of trials and that. We don't really have a month.
Did you just listen? He just said 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
the CEO of the Players Association.
I know what he said, but where
didn't
do you guys...
Didn't you know Anthony's ears were painted on?
Right. Mate, listen.
Look, I'll be honest. I think they probably need... And Clint Newton was right what he said there. Depending on how long they're off for is how long they'll need. But I think there's got to be an agreement struck here where you basically just compromise And every club's going in off the same bat. There's no club that's going to have an advantage over anybody. So the players are at home now. They're being told to train now. Now, if you're not doing your training now, and I get you can't do contact, but if you're not doing the rest of your training now, well, mate, that's on you. Okay?
Yeah. I agree with you, Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a pair of shoes. Like, if you're watching social media, they're all putting their workouts on.
Yeah.
It's so important for you right now to show a bit of mental strength and keep on ticking the boxes that you need to do. Obviously, doing the ball work sessions and that collision that, like, Clint was talking about. But once you do that for, a couple of weeks, I think you're spot on. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to do 4 to 6 weeks if they're doing everything right now.
That,
the coaches
exactly.
are putting a safety net over them.
That base work that they would use in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the 4 to 6 weeks, that base work should be being done now.
Yeah.
So when they get back on the training paddock, they've got 2 weeks of working together, 2 weeks of a little bit of contact and wrestle with each other, and they're ready to go. Because Absolutely. The game can't afford to sit down and indulge the players respectfully and the clubs, and I think the coaches are the ones driving, to be honest.
Less so the players.
Less so, it's more the coaches. But they can't afford to indulge them and say, okay, go take 6 weeks and get yourself ready. Because in 3 weeks into that six, if there's a spike or something happens, at some unforeseen event, which, let's be honest, nobody's been good at predicting any of this so far. If some unforeseen event comes up, we've just blown 3 weeks. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, 100%. So look, get back playing as soon as you can. And I tell you what, once they get back playing, it's going to be harder to stop them. But if they spend 6 weeks getting ready and something happens, it's going to be easier to stop them.
And what is it? What is supposed to happen in this 4 to 6 week? What, are they going to have a trial against another team?
Well, see, I don't even agree with that. Like,
I
don't think they should be allowed. I've heard a couple of coaches say they'd like a couple of weekends of trials. No, look, you're all off the same boat. You can do some, if you really need to do it, you get your blokes back, you get another club, give them a ring on the quiet and you come over. But why would you burn weeks playing trials when you could be playing competition for competition points, broadcast money
straight back into the coffers? And that's what you got to do.
Like,
it's a no-brainer.
Seriously, like, let's remember, firstly, these players, they won't get paid for trials. That's the first thing. Secondly, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of staff involved with all this who are currently not getting paid at all. So the quicker they can get back and get this all going, the quicker everybody starts to recover a little bit from the hardship they're all facing.
And nobody said anything about the poor old commentators. Anyway, leave it there. 1-3-3-5-3. Let's go to Sydney suburb of Mossman. Jason, what did you want to say, mate?
Yeah.
Jace, hello. Hello, Jace. I think we've... Well, as they say on the AMs, Hoopsie, we might need to put you back to the switch and clean that line up. Jason, we can't hear you, mate.
Sounds like a job audition.
What we might do is take a break.
Can we just go through, so in this downtime period, Anthony, what's your routine in terms of keeping the golden tonsils activated and making sure you get your training all in order?
I do a few voice over exercises in the morning. I do the old red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, all up into a little bit of the old... A little rouge judiciously used. I might call a couple of old games that I've got on video with Sammy Bacco playing and Gary Coyne.
I will say you are one of the few people that's benefited out of this whole coronavirus crisis.
How do you figure that?
Why? Because the government's come out and announced a $1,500 hardship fund for anybody. You get paid a fortnight, $1,500 a fortnight. You've cancelled these gigs you do.
Yeah.
And you're getting cashing in on your $1,500 fortnight, which is paying you well above what you're getting paid to do these gigs.
you've got yourself a pay rise.
Only you can spin it that way.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes.
Can I ask you this question?
To the point, Gordon. Blake rang him the other day and said, listen, mate, I reckon we can do something. He said, mate, please don't ring me.
Hey, Anthony, is there a name or a player that you would have loved to have called?
In
his prime or mate Sullivan, what name would you like to have called and what player?
Oh,
there's
Niscott.
Some tongue twisters.
Ziggy
out
Niscott.
There,
what about Ziggy Niscott?
Ziggy Niscott.
That would have been a good one. Oh, there was a kid playing in the Queensland Cup named Christian Wanker. That would have been a good name to have to call. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll have more Saturday Sin Bin as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And we are doing it right across the east coast of Australia and via the Triple M app. Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M is all thanks to King G. King G, made for kings, and all our footy is always thanks to Ream Hot Water, Steady Hot and Strong, and Macca's, which we are about to have for lunch, some lovely Macca's, nuggies, some cheeseburgers, and some lovely French fries, washed down with a nice cold Coca-Cola.
You like your sweet and sour sauce, don't you, Anthony?
Mate, I hoard it. People are out there buying toilet paper and sanitizer. I'm out there just loading up on the Macca's sweet and sour sauce, you know, before, in case we run out. Time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's a lonely old time if you're just sitting around home at the moment, isolating with your dog, maybe watching a little bit of telly or getting on the computer. Not a lot of things can really annoy you now other than just sheer and utter boredom. Huh. But if anyone can be annoyed, it's Paul Kent and James Hooper. All right, Triceps, go for your life. You can go first. What do you call BS on?
Yeah, I want to call BS on the imbeciles who decided that it was a good idea to let the floating Petri dish, which is the Ruby Princess cruise ship, into Circular Quay without getting health checked, and just let all the passengers stroll off and outside into society. So it's on the front page of the Telegraph today. New South Wales Health, Anthony, they advised the boat they didn't need to go through checks.
They've run denials today too.
Wow.
Typical government.
Wow.
Just unbelievable, isn't it? So you're calling BS on that?
Yep.
Okay. Paul Kemp, would you like to call BS?
Yeah, I just want to call BS on all the people who are driving the hysteria about the NRL trying to come back and are campaigning actively to actually say to the NRL, no, you shouldn't come back, you need to be socially responsible. The NRL is being socially responsible, and the NRL is doing, they've got every expert you can pay in there at the moment telling them what they can and can't do. They're going to put the players in an environment, if they do come back, where they're safer than the general population. And they provide such benefit. We heard Scott Morrison talking earlier this week about the spike in domestic violence. We've seen the other spike in suicides, depression. The rugby league provides a real benefit. Mm. It provides a genuine benefit, not just rugby league, all sport does. If you're an AFL fan sitting at home and you're looking at how hard the AFL how hard the NRL, let me say it this way, how hard the NRL is trying to get back playing again, you must be looking at your sport saying, why aren't we fighting as hard? Gay Waterhouse was on Fox Sports last night, and she said that the reason the racing industry is still going is because of Peter Vlandis, and she thanked him for it. And I think that rugby league's very lucky Vlandis is driving so hard to get the game up and going again. I think the game needs it. I think the players now realise it. I think the players have been magnificent since they've been in isolation. You bring them up on radio, you ring them up on TV, there's not a knockback. You get a dozen knockbacks every week when they're actually playing. Now that they're not playing, they're sitting at home, they've been superb in trying to talk about the game and to talk up the game and get it all going. And yet there's some people out there who just think that their little social opinion is the important one, and because they're sitting in their little dark room and they don't like really football anyway, they think it's okay for rugby league to say, okay, you shouldn't be playing. Mm. I just think there's no safer group in Australia than these players will be if they are allowed to go ahead and play out of the bubble.
Okay. Gordon, would you like to call BS on something, my friend?
It's pretty hard because the world that we live in has stopped. But I tell you what I'm getting a bit annoyed with is every time I turn on social media, people are trying to show me how much they're working out.
Well, that's your first mistake.
Right? Yeah, well, you're a bit bored. I don't watch Married at First Sight. Okay, I watch 360, yep. And I watch some other shows.
Yep.
But through the day, you might get on. I'm sick of people showing me their workout and how good and how fit they are or whatever, and people trying to be funny that's not funny and trying to come up and create something on this. It's not a TV. It's for there to just send to your friends or whatever, like a Facebook. So just DM your friends and try to be funny. DM your friends your workout, or go become a personal trainer and get to the gym. Mm,
good work.
Or go to the park. Don't do it on social media. Don't flood my social media with your workouts when I'm sitting on the couch having a beer.
Hey, it annoys me. That is one of the issues of social media.
I don't social media every time I go open up the Esky. We'll have a hot dog. We'll get a kebab.
That's true.
Or a bit of Red Rooster.
Yeah.
So don't shove your workouts down my throat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, have you seen the movie Ford versus Ferrari?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing
it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd highly recommend that if you've got access to it and you're sitting at home.
Yeah, and there's almost a documentary. It's almost the exact same story on Netflix. So if you want to go there and not have to pay the freight.
What's that one called, Paul?
I think it's
about Carroll Shelby.
About Carroll Shelby, yeah. And the driver, what's his name, Davis?
Ken
Miles.
Yeah, Ken Miles.
Ken Miles, who is played by, what's the bloke that played Batman?
Christian Bale.
That's it. Gee, I tell you what, thank God you're here today,
yeah,
Anthony.
Well,
you're earning your money. But Christian Bale, and it's a fascinating story. Poor old Christian Bale, Carroll Shelby, the way they got it going and brought about the Mustangs and took on Ferrari is pretty good.
Just on that, before I close up, while we're going nowhere, what about blokes that have women's names like Carroll Shelby?
Yes.
Val Kilmer. You know, Shirley is a man's name in America.
Shirley can't be serious about that.
Let's have a look at Maroon's poll.
Paula.
Is looking good today. Maroon's poll is attracting a lot of attention. And the question on Maroon's poll.
You've gone for a soft touch today.
Yeah.
Should the Canterbury players have been sacked by the Bulldogs or should they have been given a slight little rap over the knuckles or a smack on the bum? I say they should have been sacked. Go to Facebook and vote on Maroon's poll. And when we return, Raiders star Johnny Bateman, we're just trying to dig him up now, we'll also speak to the boss, Peter Vallandis, and more about NRL and where we go from here as Triple M rocks the footy.